Tonight, I want to talk to you about the 10 reasons why Jesus stood. The 10 reasons that Jesus stood. In Acts chapter 6, and actually hold your place in chapter 6. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 7. I want you to find verse number 58 and 59. It says this, "And they cast him out of the city," meaning Stephen, "and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Now, I want to give you a little background about stoning. Stoning is not just this picture of people throwing rocks at a person. I want to share with you just a little bit. The Bible does not tell us exactly how people were stoned, but we do have accounts over the centuries that tell us some of the methods used. One account is given to us in the Jewish Mishnah, an oral Jewish tradition, that says this is how a person was to be stoned. The place of stoning was twice a man's height. Once the witnesses had pushed him by the hips to the ground and he had overturned on his heart, meaning he was face down, he was then turned onto his back. If this caused his death, if either of those two things caused a death, then the people who were stoning him felt like their job was finished. But if not, the second witness took a large stone and threw it on his chest. If he died thereby, then the judge or the executioner had fulfilled his duty. But if not, the criminal was stoned by all of Israel. Here's just some methods that surrounded this act. The hands were tied behind the back. The criminal was wrapped with three pieces of shroud from head to toe. A hole was dug, and the criminal was placed in the hole up to his waist, and then they began to throw stones. The sentencing judge is to then throw the first stone, about a tangerine size, not too big to kill one with one blow, or not too small as a pebble. If a witness is involved, then they are to throw another stone, and then the judge again. And afterward, everyone is to throw until the criminal is declared dead. Other accounts tell us that some criminals were tied to a post and then stoned, and tied hand and feet and then stoned, thrown from a high place so that they were injured and couldn't run, and then stoned or just surrounded by a large crowd so they could not escape. Stoning usually took place outside the camp. So this is what took place. They were going to stone Stephen. And we don't know exactly all the things that took place, but in many cases in history, we find that the person that was stoned was taken to a cliff or a small hill, and they were shoved off, hoping that maybe that might kill them or at least injure them so they couldn't run. At which point, then the witnesses and the judge would come and hurl stones on the person, killing them slowly over the course of time. If they were merciful, they'd hit him in the head and try to kill him in the first 15 minutes. But if not, they would hurl stones at the person over and over until the person died. This sometimes took as long as 2 hours of being stoned continually until the person finally died. That's the scene that we have that we're going to look at tonight as we examine the life of Stephen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for how good you are. Lord, we've sung of your grace today, and oh, we are so reminded that none of us here tonight is worthy of it, and yet we are so grateful for the outpouring of grace that we, your children, have received. Lord, help us never to forget the great gift of your grace that we have. And Lord, as we examine the life of Stephen tonight and we see the 10 reasons why Jesus stood, I pray that like Stephen, we would be bold in our witness, committed unto death, and glorifying you all the way through. Lord, help us to see things the way you do and be pleased by Lord, I ask you to help me be pleasing to you in the presentation of your word this evening. And then help us to go from here knowing that we've learned from you. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, to give you some more background, go back to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first few verses, and then we're going to kind of go through this passage. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Then the 12, the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We could stop right there, couldn't we? They chose Stephen. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was full of faith. Let's go down to verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, again, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they subdued men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and elders, and scribes came upon him, and caught him, and brought him unto the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man causeth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council, and I want you to pay attention to what we hear next, all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. For a person to receive a standing ovation, they have to be cared for by the audience. They have to have struck a chord with their viewers, or they have to have delivered a pleasing performance to their audience. In doing any of these things, the onlooking people respond by standing to show their support for the person. We have this record of an audience of one offering a standing ovation to Stephen. In an account of the death of Stephen, we see this, that an audience of one, of Jesus, he sees what Stephen has done, and Jesus Christ stands in heaven. That's good, isn't it? That Jesus, we would do anything that would make Jesus want to stand and say, this is good. I want to share with you 10 reasons that I believe, and I think Scripture verifies, why Jesus stood for Stephen. First, Jesus stood because he loved Stephen. Jesus loves the church corporate as his bride. We know this. Scripture tells us, in Ephesians it says this, and we see it demonstrated in the life of Jesus. He loved his bride so much that he was willing to die for it. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and died for it. Paul was reminding his readers that for a person to demonstrate their love was to be sacrificial. And Jesus loved the church, and Stephen is part of the church. And so Jesus stood because he loved Stephen. And Jesus stood because he loved the saints personally. He doesn't just love the church corporately. He loves us personally and individually. In John 10:27, it says that Jesus said this, my sheep know my voice, and I know them. Jesus knew Stephen, and he loved Stephen. He stood because of his love for Stephen. Let's take a look at another reason. Jesus stood because Stephen was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look back at chapter 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus stood because Stephen was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was a servant of the church. That's what this meeting was all about. There was a problem because some of the people in the church, the Grecians, were not having their needs met. And so they gathered together and they said, choose out a person who is honest and who has a good report so that they can become a servant. And they found Stephen to be that kind of person, a person who was full of the Holy Ghost and was full of faith, and he became a servant. Remember what Jesus said? He said this, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He said, the least among you will be greatest in the kingdom. Remember at the Lord's table? He served. He served the disciples. And Stephen has this testimony that he is full of the Holy Ghost, that he is full of faith, and he was a servant. He was also, part of this being full of the Holy Spirit, he was a preacher of the gospel. If we read chapter 7, we won't read the whole chapter, but Stephen is brought before this council. You know what Stephen does? He just lays out the Bible. He doesn't even, I would have loved to have been there to watch Stephen just lay them out. Remember in the passage in chapter 6, it says that they began to argue with Stephen, but they couldn't stand against him because he had such great wisdom. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he had power. He was speaking powerfully. The people couldn't even argue with him. He preached the gospel. He did the work of an evangelist. He was full of the Holy Ghost, proclaiming the gospel and telling people that Jesus was the only way to be saved. In Acts chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the apostles found Stephen to be of godly character. The Holy Spirit was evident to those who were around him. Think about this for just a minute. So how does a person become filled with the Spirit, to be Spirit-filled? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's turn there real quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes this, and this is a great passage for you to memorize. These first two verses of chapter 12. Says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how was Stephen filled with the Holy Ghost? He did this. He presented himself as a sacrifice. He was seeking holiness. He chose not to be conformed to this world system. He renewed his mind. He was thinking on godly things, and then he pursued the will of God. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 11 says this, it is impossible to please God without faith. We cannot please God if we do not walk by faith. Stephen was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Think about this. Abraham walked by faith and it pleased God. Enoch walked by faith and God brought him directly into heaven. Antipas, and this in Revelation chapter 2, it talks about Antipas. Jesus mentions him by name as a martyr because he pleased God. Why did Jesus stand number 2? Because Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, why did Jesus stand? Because Stephen was wrongly accused. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I want you to find verse 9. Acts chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says this, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him into the council. Stephen was wrongly accused. Stephen is just preaching Jesus and salvation. And he even uses the Bible, the Old Testament, to clarify that Jesus always has been the message, the point of God's plan. And these men raised up people who would tell lies and say that he blasphemed God. Stephen was wrongly accused. Jesus tells us this in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:11. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Why did Jesus stand up at Stephen's stoning? Because Stephen was wrongly accused. And Jesus told us, listen, if you will stand for me, you will be accused wrongly. People will say you did stuff that you didn't do. People will lie about you. They will say that you are blaspheming God when the whole time you are proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened to Stephen. And I think that is in part why Jesus, when he saw his child, his servant, his one filled with the Holy Spirit, his one walking in the Spirit, his one full of faith, stand before these accusers and proclaim the truth of the gospel. Jesus stood because his son was wrongly accused. Oh, that Jesus would stand for us. Oh, that we would be worthy for Jesus to stand for us. He has died for us. He's saved us. Let's give him a reason to stand. Jesus stood because Stephen was wrongly accused. That's number three. Number four, Jesus stood because Stephen contended for the faith. Not only did Stephen have faith, but he was willing to contend for faith. See, that's a very different thing. A lot of people have faith, or they say they have faith. But when the rubber meets the road, when it's time to face the music, when it's time to put our money where our mouth is, or where, you know, all the analogies, people fail to stand. Stephen not only had faith, he contended for the faith. He was not willing just to say, I believe God. He said, I believe God, and I'm going to show you I believe God because I'm willing to stand before you knowing that it may cost me my life. That's what Stephen did. He contended for the faith. He put actions to his faith. James says this, right? Faith without works is dead. Some people say, I have faith. Prove it. Oh, prove it. Do something. Test God. In so much that try him. Say, God, put me on the edge. You've heard me say this before. I think God wants us not to be foolish, not to be dumb, but to stand at the edge and say, God, I believe you can do it, and so I'm going to stand here and I'm going to jump. Because I trust you that much. I can tell you this in my own life and Jennifer and I's life so many times. When we have, by faith, taken a step out, we were scared. God has never, ever failed us. Jesus stood because Stephen was full of faith and he contended for the faith. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you contended for the faith? I'm not saying going out picking a fight. Christians are really good at that kind of stuff, right? We are. We're good at that. Like, we're going to go witnessing and we put boxing gloves on, we're getting ready to leave. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't seem to match. No, when was the last time we contended? You know what? We ought to be the sweetest people on this planet. And with our sweetness, contend for the faith. So that when people say, why are you sweet? We say, let me tell you about this man who lived and died and rose again and saved me. And let me tell you all the places in Scripture that pointed to who he was and of his coming and of the promise. And let me tell you about how the Bible says that he's coming again. Contend. Contend. Stand. Almost the entire chapter of Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen contending. He went through the Old Testament and reasoned with the Jews over and over and over, pointing them to Jesus. Go to chapter 7, because this is so good. He then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The glory of God appeared unto the father Abraham, and when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto the land where ye now dwell. and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as set his foot on. And yet he promised that he would give him for a possession to all his seed after him. Then as yet he had no child. And God spake unto this wise, that the seed should sojourn in a land, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he just walks them right through Scripture over and over and over again, pointing them to Jesus. Go to verse 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is this place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One. In your Bible, is Just One capitalized? Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Jesus. He takes them through all of Scripture and he says, the Just One. He is contending for the faith. He is taking the Old Testament saying, listen, all of the Bible is pointing to the coming of the Messiah, the Just One. He contends. He points them to the Messiah. And the people he's dealing with hated him. They were getting ready to kill him. What did he do? He contended. He pointed them to Jesus through Scripture. Next, Jesus stood. He stood up for Stephen because Stephen stood up for the truth. All of chapter 7 is that. Listen, there are times in your life, if you've been saved for very long, that you are going to be faced with a decision. Will I stand for the truth? Or will I allow a lie? Listen, we've talked about this lots of times. Our job is to present facts, right? We can't save anybody. We are incapable of saving anyone. All we can do is present facts. What are the facts? Are truth. That's what we do. We contend. We present facts. Stephen presented facts. He said, listen, here's the history of our people. I'm laying it out before you. You know this history. I'm telling you that all of this history that we have just examined is all pointing to the Just One, the Messiah. This is the truth. This is the end of the story. He is the promise. He stood for the truth. Listen, when we stand for the truth, we represent Jesus Christ. We contend for the faith. We represent Jesus Christ. We are a good testimony to Jesus Christ. He's called us to stand for the truth, and Stephen stood for the truth. Jesus stood also because Stephen preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. Stephen pointed the Jews squarely to Jesus. We just talked about it. He spent this entire chapter 7 telling the Jews about Jesus. He said, all of this, Moses and the Israelites and the law and the kings and the judges and all the history of our people, all points to Christ, points to Him. He's the reason. He's the purpose. He is our focus. He is Jesus. Next point, Jesus stood because Stephen looked like an angel and behaved like Jesus. Now, let me clarify. Jesus didn't stand because Stephen looked nice, but his testimony was clean. We just read this. When the council got done talking to Stephen, go back to chapter 6. Go back to chapter 6, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Angels are messengers. That was their purpose. These men saw him and they said, we look at his face and it's as the face of an angel. Look at another verse. Look at chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Who else said that? Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now listen, Stephen was not Jesus, and he was not perfect. He was a sinner just like us. But what he did do is he walked in faith, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And because he walked in faith, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, that is why when they were killing him, he could respond like his Savior. I struggle with that. Somebody was stoning me, I'd start picking them up and throwing them back. Stephen behaved like his master. I want to tell you this. I've shared this with a few of you. I used to teach with a man who was not saved. And had lived in a life of sin. And he and I got to sit and talk one day. We talked for about 3 hours. And we didn't talk any words about his specific sin. We just talked about grace and mercy and the love of Christ. Now, we did talk about judgment, and God is just and he is holy. And those two things are congruent. He is perfect in love and grace and mercy, and yet he is almighty, holy God and judge. And we sat and talked for this 3 hours, and this man looked at me and he said this, Dan, he said, I've known a lot of Christians in my life, but I've known very few who look like Jesus. That cut me to the quick. That cut me to the quick. He said, I know a lot of people who are Christians. I know people who claim to be Christians. They tell me all the time they're Christians, and then they begin to berate me about this and this and this. But Dan, I've known very few people who say they're Christians, meaning Christians, meaning little Christ, who look and behave like Jesus. Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. He looked and behaved like Jesus. Listen, the greatest benefit we can have from being filled with the Holy Ghost and walking by faith is that when we do those things, we behave like Jesus. We've talked about this. Our job is to make Jesus known, make him known to the world, and to make him look good. Some of us are really good at making him known. Honk if you love Jesus, bumper sticker on your car, right? I got the little fish. That means I'm a Christian, right? Some of us have a little more difficulty when it comes to making Jesus look good. I worked with a man once when I was in college. Actually, there were three of us working in a department. And there was a man that wasn't saved that I was witnessing to for some time. And the other man that was with me claimed to be a Christian, but he would come in and he would tell dirty jokes and he would say bad words and he would be filthy. And finally, in my great spiritualness, I walked up to him. I said, hey, Jeff, shut up. Because every time you open your mouth and say that filth and that garbage, you make my desire to win this man to Christ more challenging, because you're presenting a picture of Jesus that isn't him. I believe Jesus stood because Stephen behaved like he did. Stephen wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. But he was walking by faith and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result, he behaved like Jesus. Even in his dying, he pointed people to Christ. Next, Jesus stood because Stephen was a victor. Some people might think that Stephen was the victim in this account. And if we look at it, we would say, well, yes, Stephen was the victim. They're throwing stones at him. I mean, they buried him. Maybe they buried him in a hole up to his waist, and they pummeled stones at him until he finally lost consciousness. And then they just kept hitting him with these rocks until he's dead. Or maybe they wrapped him tightly in these bandages, and then they shoved him off a cliff, and then they threw stones down on top of him until he was finally dead. Well, yes, Stephen's the victim. He's absolutely the victim. It's clear they killed him. But I would tell you this. I think Stephen was the victor, and the crowd were the victims. They didn't have a clue. Stephen had just stood before them and clearly presented the gospel that the just one, Jesus Christ, was come. And they missed it. They absolutely lost this. They lost the message that he was trying to give him. Stephen was a victor because he died in service to his king. Stephen was a victor because he died preaching the truth. Stephen was a victor because he contended for the faith. Stephen was a victor because he died with a Christ-like testimony before the lost and was an example to the other believers. You don't think the other believers heard about that? Do you know what happened to Stephen? Did you hear? He preached with boldness and fire and passion and compassion. And they killed him. And you know what I heard he said? Even when he was dying, Jesus, forgive them. You don't think that emboldened the other believers? I think Jesus stood because Stephen was a victor. Jesus stood because Stephen had finished his work. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Actually, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. See, Jesus stood because Stephen's work was done. He was finished. He had finished his course. He had done what Jesus had called him to do. And so Jesus stood to welcome him home. The heavens opened. The heavens opened. And Stephen saw his Savior, his King, his Master, his Lord, his Shepherd, his great High Priest, standing to receive him. Stephen's work was finished. Go back to your Bibles. Look at verse 57 or 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Jesus stood because Stephen was coming home. Stephen was coming home. And Jesus stood to welcome him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 72:14 says this, He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Why did Jesus stand? Because Stephen was doing what Jesus asked him to do. He honored Christ with his life. Jesus stood because Stephen had finished his work, and Jesus stood because he was ready to welcome him home. Let me ask you a question tonight. Would Jesus stand for you? Would the way you're living right now cause Jesus to stand? Would he be so excited that you were coming home that he would stand? The Bible tells us that Jesus has the names of every person that has been saved in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someday he's going to read my name. And I am excited about that. I would be really excited if Jesus stood because of me. And sadly, so much of the time, I don't think I give him a reason. I'm going to ask you tonight, would Jesus stand for you? What are you willing to do so that Jesus could stand up for you as you are going to meet him? Someday, each of us is going to die. Some of us, if the Lord tarries and the situation in our world continues to go the way it has, some of us may die as martyrs. Some of us may be stoned or shot or whatever else you want to consider. Would Jesus stand because of the way you've lived? Because of the testimony that you've borne before him? If you're here tonight and you're saved, that's the question you should ask yourself. How am I living? And is the way I'm living going to lead my Savior to stand? If you're here and you're not saved, today's the day. ABC, admit I'm a sinner, believe on Jesus Christ, call upon him to save you. Confess your sins. That's simple. We're going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing a song. Maybe tonight you need to come and just say, Lord, I want to put myself in a position where I would lead you to stand because of the way I live.